Good morning. We are reading from John chapter 15, verse 26 to 16, verses 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Thank you, Kelsey, and thank you, Clay, and good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all this morning. Hi, Tim and Maddie. Good to see you too. Clay, I'm glad you didn't start the service with welcoming them because... They may not have quite been here, so that would have been a little bit awkward. Friends, over the last couple of months, we've been delving into a part of John's Gospel that is sometimes called the Farewell Discourse. It's this section that we're in from John 13 through to 17, where we are told of a single evening that Jesus spent with his disciples in that upper room, just before he went to the cross. And their time together on this fateful night, well, it hasn't been easy. It's been disturbing. It's been upsetting. It's been challenging. I mean, first of all, Jesus revealed that he, their wise and powerful leader, was soon going to leave. They would see him no more. And the disciples were devastated by this news. But Jesus also highlighted their own weakness and their vulnerability, speaking about their limited understanding and talking about Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. And furthermore, Jesus had been explaining to them what it really meant for them to follow him after the time when he departs. He told them that they would need to stand firm in their faith, trusting in him completely as their Savior and their Lord. And they need to sacrificially love one another just as he had loved them first, which he so vividly illustrated as he got down on the floor and washed their filthy feet. And they needed to wholeheartedly obey his teachings and keep his commands. And he told them that they would need to continue his mission, witnessing to the gospel, saving lost souls, doing even greater works than his, he said. And they needed to remain in him, bearing much fruit for the kingdom of God. But as if all of that wasn't already hard enough, just last week we saw that Jesus warned them that the world was going to hate them and the world was going to persecute them, and that they would need to persevere in their high calling whilst at the same time suffering severely for his sake. And as we put all of that together, we can understand, can't we, that those first disciples must have felt completely overwhelmed. But don't we also feel the same way? How can we possibly stay true to our Lord when we are so weak and so sinful and so hopeless? How can we grow in our faith and our holiness when the world is constantly trying to drag us away? How can we spread this message when people just don't want to hear it and conversion seems so unachievable? How can we ever grow this church and expand God's kingdom in the way that Jesus desires? And how can we do all of this when the world is increasingly hostile towards us? It seems too difficult. It's just unreachable. In fact, it is terrifying. That's how these 11 disciples must have felt. And that's exactly how we can feel today. Jesus has gone, and he's left us here with this enormous task in front of us. It's just too much. Surely we will fail. It fills us with fear. It just seems impossible. But Jesus knows his disciples' feelings. And Jesus knows our feelings too. And that's precisely why in our passage that we're looking at today, he provides us with such incredible encouragement and assurance and hope. Because in our passage today, he helps us to see how the impossible can in fact be made possible. And he tells us it's all by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. In these verses, Jesus outlines 5 aspects of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and in this world. 5 aspects of how he makes the impossible possible. And the first of those is that the Holy Spirit, is that it's the Holy Spirit who testifies about Jesus, both in us and through us. Listen again to John 15, verses 26 and 27. Jesus says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus already spoke about the Spirit's coming back in chapter 14. Back there he said this, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." He said the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Friends, the Holy Spirit has been sent to us by Jesus and by our Heavenly Father. And he has come to live in our hearts. He is the one who gives us faith. He is the one who teaches us and reminds us and testifies to us about the truth of the gospel and about Jesus and about salvation. Sometimes we worry, don't we, about whether our faith is strong enough, whether we truly believe or whether one day we're going to drift away and be lost forever. But here we are reassured, aren't we, that our faith is not something that we can work up within ourselves. It is not a product of our own holiness, but it is a precious gift from God, freely given so that no one can boast. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to put our trust in Christ. But it's also the Holy Spirit who works through us to take this message out to others so that they too can repent and believe. We often wonder how we can possibly spread the good news and how anyone would ever respond. Our hearts are so fearful. Our words are so flimsy. Our efforts are so pathetic. But we need to remember that just as the Holy Spirit has transformed us, so He can work through us to transform others. It does not depend on our own cleverness. We're just the channel. We're just the conduit. The power comes from Him. He is the only one who can open blind eyes to see, who can turn rebellious lives around, who can apply the saving work of Jesus to lost souls. It is impossible for us, but never for Him. It's the Holy Spirit who powerfully testifies about Jesus, both in us and through us. But then a second aspect of His work is that the Holy Spirit keeps us faithful, even in persecution. And now we're looking at chapter 16, verses 1 to the first part of verse 4. And there Jesus continues to say this. He says, "All this I have told you," that is about the Spirit, "all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them." Jesus expands here on what He said in our passage last week about the world's hatred. He says that His disciples are going to be put out of the synagogue. In other words, they are going to be excommunicated from God's people. The religious leaders are going to treat them with contempt. But that's only the beginning. For Jesus also tells them that some of them will be killed for their faith. They will be martyrs for Christ. It happened back then, and it still happens today, all around this world. And those who commit such atrocities, Jesus says, convince themselves that they're doing something good, that they're actually serving God. Friends, that reminds us that the greatest persecution of true believers often comes from those who are very religious, those who think that they are close to God, those who may even call themselves Christians. It's a grave warning to people in the church who stand in the way of the gospel, who criticize and oppose and try to get rid of those who are seeking to do the Lord's work. Jesus says they do this harm because they don't actually know the Father and they don't actually know Himself. How ironic that is. They think they're offering a service to God, but yet they do not know Him at all. And it goes without saying that they will answer for the evil they commit. But Jesus mentions this here so that we will be prepared. We shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be surprised. True Christians will face opposition. And true Christians will face hostility. But Jesus also mentions it so that we will not fall away, because the Holy Spirit will keep us strong. My friend, are you facing hardship in your life for the sake of the gospel? Is there tension in your family because of your Christian faith? Have you lost friendships over it? Are you being taunted at school? Are you being pressured to conform at work? It can be so hard, can't it? And we can be so tempted to give up on serving Jesus. So tempted to give up on Him altogether. But be assured today, the Spirit is at work in your situation too. You're not facing it by yourself. He can give you courage to stand up for Christ, and he will hold you so tight that you will never fall away. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps us faithful, even in persecution. But he also provides us with the Lord's own presence, even though Jesus is now in heaven. And that's our third point. Listen to verses 4b through to 7. Jesus says, I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When Jesus first gathered these men together at the beginning of his ministry, they thought to themselves that he would be with them permanently. They thought that he had come to save them from their Roman overlords, and that he was going to become an earthly ruler who would sit upon an earthly throne. They did not understand that Jesus' true mission was to save them from sin and from Satan and from death and from hell. They did not understand that his kingdom is not of this world. And so the reality is that Jesus had to leave. He had to leave in order to die for our forgiveness and in order to rise for our justification and in order to ascend to his Father, where he now rules over all of creation. But his disciples just didn't get it. Jesus says he didn't tell them at the beginning because they just weren't ready for this. But now he's about to go. And yet he says they're not really interested in what that's all about. They're just filled with grief because of their own loss. But Jesus explains to them here that it's actually a blessing that he is going away, because his departure marks the arrival of the Advocate, of the Holy Spirit. And this reminds us that the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force or energy. He is not some second-rate replacement. He is not some consolation prize now that Jesus is gone. No, though, just as those first disciples had the very Son of God right there with them in their midst, so we have the very Spirit of God right here with us, even here today. My friends, I think we underrate the significance of this. We have God himself, by his Holy Spirit, working right here within us, convicting us of our sin, turning us toward Christ, recreating us in his image, guiding us in his truth, filling us with his peace. He empowers us to witness. He provides us with the words and with the opportunities, and he prepares the hearts of those who hear. We're not alone in this Christian journey. We are not alone in our trials and our temptations, in our strivings and our struggles, in our ministry and in our mission. And we are not alone even when the whole world is against us and we're ready to throw in the towel. It's for our good, Jesus says, that he left and the Spirit came. For he is the third person of the Trinity, possessing all of the might and all of the glory of God. And he now lives with us and in us. And he is completely present in our lives, in our homes, and in our church. And friends, he works powerfully in ways we cannot even imagine, making the impossible possible. The Holy Spirit provides us with the Lord's own presence, even though Jesus is now in heaven. But now Jesus explains that the fourth aspect of the Spirit's work is that he also convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Listen to verses 8 to 11. He says, "When he comes, the Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." I think we all know, don't we, that for a person to move from darkness into light, from unbelief into faith, that it's going to take a miracle. They need to be convinced of the truth about themselves and about God and about the gospel. And we can't bring about that change, but Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit can. Jesus says the Spirit is going to prove the world to be in the wrong about sin because people don't believe. It's only the Spirit who can open our eyes to see that we are actually evildoers before God, that we live in selfishness and greed and immorality, that we hurt others, even those we love the most, and that we deeply offend our Creator. It's only the Spirit who can wake people up to their guilt and their shame for the wicked things they have done and the fact that they are totally helpless to do anything about it. We humans, we believe we're so noble and so virtuous, and it's only God's Spirit who can reveal just how sinful we are. But Jesus also says that he will prove the world to be in the wrong about righteousness because he is going to the Father. You see, people think they're not that bad. People think they're acceptable to God. People think that they deserve to go to heaven when they die. But it's only the Spirit who can make a person realize the fearsome holiness and righteousness of God, that he is perfect in all of his ways. And it is only the Spirit who can convince us of our utter unrighteousness before him. And it is only the Spirit who can make us see that it's only Jesus who can make us pure and holy and righteous in God's sight. Only the divine Son could live that perfect life and die that atoning death that God in his holiness required. And the Father has graciously, so graciously accepted his obedience and his sacrifice on our behalf. Our righteousness can only be found in him. But Jesus also says that the Spirit will prove the world to be wrong about judgment too, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Oh, my friends, humanity is in total denial of what lies ahead, because every person one day is going to stand before the throne of God, and he will judge the living and the dead. And those who sided with Satan, the prince of this world, they will share his eternal condemnation. But again, it's only the Spirit who alerts us to the reality and the gravity and the urgency of this truth. It's only the Spirit who can show us that the only way of escape from this terrible judgment is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Ah, friends, it took a miracle for you and for me to turn from our wicked ways and seek our salvation in Christ. And it will take a miracle for anyone else to do the same. But let's never forget that the Holy Spirit is in the business of miracles. He does them every single day. He does the impossible, because only he can convict this world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But now there's one final aspect of his work that we need to consider this morning. We've already been told that the Holy Spirit powerfully testifies about Jesus both in us and through us, and that he keeps us faithful even in persecution, and that he provides us with the Lord's own presence even though Jesus is now in heaven, and that he convicts this world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But in verses 12 to 15, Jesus finally says that the Spirit also guides us into all truth, the truth of eternal glory. Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus had so much more to teach his poor, confused followers. But time was running out. He was about to say goodbye. But yet he assures them that the Spirit will take that baton and he will come and reveal all that they need to know. Jesus tells them that his message will not be something new. It wasn't then and it won't be today. But it will be the continuation of the very things that Jesus began to teach. And he told them that he will not speak on his own, but on behalf of him, our Savior, for the sake of his glory, through the message of his word. He is the one who guides us into all truth. And what great assurance that is. Ah, friends, don't you ever wonder how can we ever understand the mind and the character and the love of Christ and the depths of the gospel and the way of salvation and the hope of things to come? How can we ever understand what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the very things that God has prepared for those who love him? And left to ourselves, we wouldn't even have a chance. But yet the Lord reveals it all. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth, the truth of eternal glory. So friends, you and I both know that we have received the most awesome calling, haven't we? The calling to trust and to follow Jesus, and to be his witnesses in this world. But how can we possibly do it when we are so weak? You know, I often wonder to myself, how can someone like me ever hope to lead in God's church? And our elders, they wonder, how can they ever shepherd this flock with all of its needs? Tim is going to wonder, how can he ever have an eternal impact on the youth of this congregation? And my friends, every leader wonders, what good can they possibly do? And how can any of us stay firm in our faith right until our dying day? How can you keep serving him when there's so much to do and you just keep getting it so wrong and you feel so tired and so useless? How can we ever possibly hope to spread the gospel and to see people repent and be saved? And how can we disciple them? How can we build a church that's healthy and thriving and growing? It's too hard. There's too much against us. The cost is too high. How can we afford the time and the effort and the money? It just seems impossible for weak people like us. And impossible it is if we had no trust and if we were trying to do it all in our own strength. But Jesus reminds us today, nothing is impossible when the Holy Spirit is involved. Friends, we need to remember that we are not doing this on our own, because the Holy Spirit has come just as Jesus promised. And he works mightily in our hearts, and he works mightily in our lives, and he works mightily in our church, and he works mightily in our community. But do we really believe it? There's such a strong temptation, isn't there, to always play it safe, to take no risks, to just look after ourselves. There's such a strong temptation to just live as though it's all up to us and that God is really very, very far away. Is it time for you and me to truly take hold of the truth that Jesus is revealing to us in his word today? We need to trust that the Spirit testifies mightily about Christ to our own hearts and to the hearts of those we reach out to. We need to trust that he is going to keep us strong even when we suffer for our faith. We need to trust that he is the very presence of God Almighty right here in our lives, that we are not alone in this world. We need to trust that he will convict the world of its need for Jesus. And we need to trust that he will guide us into all truth, so we are assured of the blessings that are coming. The Holy Spirit, my friends, is God's agent of power in this world, and so we do not have to fear. He works through weak people just like us, and so we should expect him to do great things in this church and in this city, because he is the one who makes the impossible possible. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you today for your comforting and encouraging words. Jesus, we confess that we often ignore the fact that you are right here with us by your Holy Spirit. And so we want to pray, Lord, please wake us up to his presence and help us to seek his guidance, his inspiration, and his power. Lord, we thank you that he is the one who has opened our eyes to the gospel, and that he is the one that keeps us close to you every day. And we thank you that through him we always have you by our side, and that you truly do work through us to do good in this world. We thank you that in him we have access to the truth of your word and the precious assurance of eternal life. But we pray today, please help us to truly believe this. Help us to trust that the Spirit is at work within us and through us, reaching the lost and growing the church. Please help us never to focus on our own fears and failures and weaknesses, but rather to focus on his power, and to believe that he can use even us to build your kingdom until that glorious day when you return to make all things new. Lord Jesus, please hear our prayers and bless us, we pray. Amen.